الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in our last session of Dars-e Hadith, we covered the painful, tragic event in Karbala, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah ta'ala, in our session tonight, I wish to cover the stance of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How did Yazid react when information was given to him that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been martyred? And also, if Yazid had played a role in the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, if any. And so the duty of a Muslim is that we analyze what is the truth to make sure that we have the right narrations in front of us, and especially we look into the works of those scholars who have done a lot of research on this subject of Karbala. Now, generally what happens is that whenever someone talks about the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of course the great Sahabi, the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's no question about the status of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And alhamdulillah, in many sessions we have covered the virtue of this great man, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. But generally when we talk about Karbala, on one side you have Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and then on the other side in front of Hazrat Hussein is Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. The criminal that is portrayed, generally the picture that is given, that this criminality for Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an to depart from this world in this manner is entirely, wholly and solely the works of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Generally that is the picture that is given. Very few people would know the names of Shimr ibn al-Jawshan, the people of Kufa, and Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Generally it's Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And these are the works, of course, of many different individuals from different camps, the propaganda that you hear. So you have to be very, very careful. We have to ascertain the truth. The first thing we need to look at is that, can we identify in any of the books of tarikh, history, where Yazid ibn Muawiyah has given a clear order, a command to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad that if need be, you can even eliminate and murder Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is the least we need to look at. If we can find a narration like that, then of course, you know, everything is to be blamed and to be on the side of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, that he gave orders, instructed, and this is what had happened. But if you look at all the books of history, you will not find a single narration where Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had given instructions to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, that you should, aliyazu billah, get rid of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an by murdering him. Not a single narration. There is one narration in one book. But again, the scholars have not accepted that book, and that book is Tarikh-e Ya'qubi. The name of that book is Tarikh-e Ya'qubi. Tarikh-e Ya'qubi is a book that obviously there's no credible source. Why? Because this man was a well-known Shia. He was a well-known Shia. And only in that one book he says that Yazid gave orders to Ubaidullah Aliyazu billah that you have to kill Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, which is untrue. As compared to all of the history books, none of them, great scholars, mu'arrikhin, have not mentioned this. And so because he was a Shia, it's no surprise that obviously he would write about the children of the companions, and especially towards Yazid, because he was the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and the Shia camp carry great animosity against this one particular Sahabi, whose name is Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And so everything is actually portrayed to this one man whose name is Yazid. Now, we are in the house of Allah. I am not here in any way to defend Yazid. Never. I'm not here to defend Yazid. My duty is to make sure that the right narrations are put in front of the people so that we analyze the truth. So we have the truth in front of us, what is right and what is wrong. So you don't find a single narration. I mean, if you do, then let me know. But you don't find a single narration where Yazid says that this is what you have to do to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, except for that Tarikh Ya'qubi. And that's not credible, because he was a well-known Shia. So we have to understand that. So Yazid ibn Muawiyah has never given this order. In fact, contrary to that, if we look into the famous works of Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, and his famous work Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya records a letter that was actually sent by Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And so if you look at Bidayah wa Nihaya of Ibn Kathir, it tells you what Yazid had instructed Ubaidullah. And so what he said to Ubaidullah, Yazid said to Ubaidullah that I have heard that Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an is making his way towards Iraq. So because you are the governor, be mindful, be vigilant. Be mindful and be vigilant. Be very careful. Obviously, he was the Khalifa. He was the Khalifa. And that is why Sheikh Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi in a kitab called Umdatul Ahkam has written that more than 300 Sahaba actually did bay'ah at the hands of Yazid. So you had one side who had actually accepted him. And so obviously he was only trying to secure his position. So he is saying that I have heard that Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and is coming towards Iraq. So be vigilant, being my governor. And then he said, make sure, because he knew the nature of Ubaidullah, he said, make sure you don't kill anyone. You don't kill anyone. And any action that you take, you have to inform me first. And that is it. That is all that is written in Bidayah wa Nihaya. The only letter written by Yazid to Ubaidullah. How many things, three things. The first, what was the first rukab? Be guard. Be vigilant. And the third, don't kill no one. And that was the second. The third, anything that you do, inform me first. This is written by Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Alayh, Bidayah wa Nihaya. And so when you read the letters that have been recorded in great books like Bidayah wa Nihaya, it seems that it was never the intention of Yazid ibn Muawiyah to see the final of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an in this manner, to depart in this manner. This was never his idea. It seems that way, of course. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh has also mentioned that Yazid ibn Muawiyah never gave any instructions to anyone against Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh says that when information was given to him that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an has been made shaheed, he was extremely sad. And in another narration it says that tears were coming out from his eyes. So this man was very sad, and in another narration tears were coming out from his eyes. Now, these are just some of the narrations. You can't find any narration in the books of history where clearly it tells you that he gave the instructions to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. But however, what we need to see is we have to maintain the right balance. Despite the fact that Yazid never gave any instructions, you can't still say that he is free from blame. You can't say that. Why? Because he was the Khalifa at that time. Now generally what would happen is that anything that happens, it always leads to the top, to the main man. So he was the Khalifa, let us not forget. Now we can't say that 100% everything that happened in Karbala was the doing of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. You can't say that. But at the same time you can't even say that he is free from blame. No. The blame has to be put on him because he was the Khalifa. He has to be careful. He should have monitored the situation carefully. So in a way, he is also to be blamed. So we have to strike the right balance. But what is very important, my respected brothers, we need to identify the real culprits. Who are the real culprits? Now this is the situation with Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Remember, Yazid was not in Kufa. He was in Syria. That is why Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala and said to Ubaidullah, Let me go to Yazid who is in Syria. Now in those days, you didn't have emails or a mobile phone, or you could just quickly be updated and Skype things. You don't have that. And so everything was handled by the governors. Now this man, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, acted very independently. Despite the fact that Yazid ibn Muawiyah told him that whatever you do, I must be informed. But he acted very independently. Very independently. Now, one question is that you'll find that a lot of the people, sometimes they go to the extreme and they say that Yazid ibn Muawiyah is not even a Muslim. He's not even a Muslim. And so what happens is that they do la'antan, they curse him and they send la'anat to him. Now you have to be careful. First of all, there's no doubt that Yazid ibn Muawiyah was a Muslim. When he passed away, he passed away in the condition of Iman. So there's no doubt. Nobody can say that Yazid ibn Muawiyah was not a Muslim, and so it gives them the license to curse him, to do la'an and ta'an on him. Of course, there are some scholars, even amongst the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at, who have given permission because of the actions that were undertaken when he was the Khalifa. But the correct viewpoint of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at is that we are of the view that we don't show any love to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and at the same time we don't curse him. So we don't show our love to him and we don't even curse him. And that is the madhab of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ibn Salah rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh. These were powerful scholars at that time, of course, who have actually studied the events of Karbala. You get certain individuals like Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayh. He gives permission that you can do la'an on him. But that is not the opinion of majority of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. Now there was a big issue, of course, with Dr. Zakir Naik in one of his lectures. He said, Yazid rahmatullah alayh. What did he say? Oh, radiyallahu ta'ala. Khair. Well, he said, radiyallahu ta'ala, not rahmatullah alayh. There's also one issue that whether an individual, generally what happens is that when someone passes away, naturally we would say that, you know, rahmatullah alayh, rahmatullah alayh. So can someone say rahmatullah for Yazid? This is again a question. Just looking into the matter that a lot of people sort of attacked him and he gave his answers, wallahu alam. But people like Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh is of the opinion that if somebody did say Yazid rahmatullah, it is fine. And Imam Ghazali, the great Shafi'i scholar and a great Sufi of his time, he says, why? Because rahmatullah is a dua. What is it? It is a dua, like a dua of maghfirat. And any Muslim who has passed away from this dunya with iman, he is entitled, he has the haq that other Muslims can make dua of maghfirat for him. And so because we know for a fact that he died with iman, so it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as Muslims, we can make dua maghfirat for anybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his glorious speech, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Allah, if you punish your servants, you have every right to. But وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, subhanallah, you have all the rights. So it's entirely up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in Wafayatul Wafayat, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi gave one fatwa. Imam Ghazali gave one fatwa and he said, if a man in his entire life never cursed Iblis, if a man in his entire life, for whatever reason, didn't have the knowledge or whatever, he just never cursed Iblis, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah still won't judge him by that why did you not curse Iblis? So this is the fatwa of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. So he said, if somebody was to say rahmatullah, that is fine. But generally, the ulama of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, we say that we don't show love for Yazid. And that's why we say Yazid ibn Muawiyah, radiyallahu ta'ala, and of course his father was a great sahabi, radiyallahu ta'ala. So we don't show love for Yazid and we don't even show hatred. What we say in accordance to the ayat of the Quran, tilka ummatun qad khalat, that these were a group of people that have passed away from this dunya. Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. For them is their actions and for you it is your actions. Wa la tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. And Allah will not question you of your actions. And so this is again the best approach that is taken by the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. Why? Because in a way what you see, my respected brothers, is that Yazid never instructed directly to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad that this is what you have to do. Of course, his fault is that he was the Khalifa. What was he doing? Sleeping? He should monitor everything. So that is where the blame is of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. But he gave everything to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. But he also gave instructions that make sure, never mind Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and kill no one. That was his instructions. Kill no one. Subhanallah. Now we have to understand that was the position of Hazrat A. That is the position of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Now some have even said, it's quite shocking when you hear from Sunni scholars when they say that the auspicious head of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an was then presented to Yazid. And Ubaidullah was there, but it also went from Kufa to Syria. the head of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala Ansari was presented to Yazid, and that Yazid disrespected the head of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. There is no proof of this narration. No proof. In fact, you'll find that the Shia scholars have concocted fantastic stories and dramatized a lot of things when covering the events of Karbala. In fact, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, was sahih, that sahih is that the head of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an was never presented to Yazid. Yes, it only went to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, but not to Yazid. That is why in one narration, Ibn Kathir said that he actually was crying. Now, how do we know that Yazid died in the condition of Iman? Tariq-e-Dimashq, written by Ibn Asakir, rahmatullah alayh. In there he has mentioned the last words of Yazid ibn Muawiyah when he died. The last words of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. The last words of Yazid ibn Muawiyah was, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima lam uhibbuhu wa lam uridhu. Bima lam uhibbuhu wa lam uridhu. Fahkum bayni wa bayna ubaidillah. And he says, Ya Allah, don't take me to task for something which I never wanted and for something which I had no intention of. So this man is leaving dunya and he is crying to Allah and he's saying, Allahumma la tu'akhizni, Allah meri pakar mat karo. Don't take me to task for something which was never my intention and for something which I didn't want to see myself also. But you are the one who will judge between me and Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And so what he is trying to say, these were the last words. This is what Ibn Asakir is saying. And the Shaykh of Ibn Asakir, actually, writing upon the events of Karbala, he says that thereafter I had actually seen Yazid in my dream. But I don't want to cover that right now. What we have to see is that the last words of Yazid ibn Muawiyah was that he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So he was a man of Iman. So nobody can say, aliyazu billah, we have no right as individuals to say that this person is a kafir or this person is a kafir or this person is a kafir. Remember that Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an, he is the one who actually killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat. And so ultimately the one who judges is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now who are the true culprits? The people who get away with everything. So what they do is they put the name of Yazid ibn Muawiyah in front, so that a mockery is generally done for the Sunni Muslims. A mockery is played with the Sunni Muslims that you see what happens. Yazid was the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, and this is what he did with the Ahle Bayt. And so the first name that's put out there is Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And the real culprits get away with it. Who were the real culprits? Gunehgar log kaun the? Who were the real murderers of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an? Now, listen to me very carefully, my respected brothers. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad was the governor of Kufa. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an put three proposals to him. The first was, let me return back to Makkah or Medina. The second was, let me go to Syria to speak to Yazid. The third was, let me go to the frontiers and engage in jihad fi sabilillah and I won't disturb anybody. Now, any man would have accepted the proposal of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. In fact, even if it came from someone who was not a Muslim, generally Muslims would have accepted that. Imagine this came from Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Now, it is said that Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, despite the fact that he was a very shrewd individual, he was ready to accept the proposal of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. But again, another man whose name is Shimr ibn al-Jawshan. Shimr ibn al-Jawshan. Shimr ibn al-Jawshan was a Kufi from Kufa, and he was the commander of the army in Kufa. So a very powerful man. He was the main man there of the army in Kufa. And the people of Kufa had put a lot of pressure on him, and this is also what he wanted. So what he said to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad is that don't accept anything from Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an until you take him as a prisoner and bring him to Kufa as a prisoner. Now why did he say that? The fear was that, remember, the Kufans had written letters, more than 100,000 letters were written to Hazrat Hussain that we need you and you will be our leader and you come to Kufa and we will support you. And Hazrat Hussain, when he came to Karbala, he was carrying all the letters. In fact, it is said that he would open the letter and say to the people, the Kufans that were in front of him, the army that came from Kufa, that did you not invite me? Did you not invite me? Did you not invite me? Is this not your letter? Is this not your letter? And that is why it is said, what the army did is that they wanted to even burn the tent in which Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an was. And so it is said that two sacks filled with letters were with Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. The people of Kufa who invited Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an feared that now Yazid ibn Muawiyah has been accepted as the leader, as a Khalifa. But if he finds out that the people of Kufa were prepared to betray him, what would happen to them? So they were prepared to eliminate Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, so they have a safe passage in front of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And so that is why Shimr ibn al-Jawshan knew exactly that Hazrat Hussain will never accept this, that he comes to Kufa as a prisoner. He will never accept this. And if he doesn't accept that, this would ultimately mean that there will be a fight between the two camps. The people of Kufa, the army that came from Kufa, and also the humble caravan and 150 people with Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. And this is what had happened. And so that is how Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an became shaheed. Now, just to make it clear, the people who attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, it wasn't Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he was in Syria. And it wasn't Yazid who gave instructions to Ubaidullah. But it was wholly and solely the works of the people of Kufa. Remember that. The works of Kufa. And I have here with me 6 points as reference and as proof to show that it was only the people of Kufa who attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. First, the words of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, that in Karbala he said that you people have betrayed me. You betrayed my father, you betrayed my brother, you betrayed Muslim ibn Aqil, and this is what you do to me. And so here Hazrat Hussain is saying to the people of Kufa that you people are traitors. Then Hazrat Zainul Abideen confesses that what happened to my father are the works of the people of Kufa. Then Zainab bint Ali. And then the fourth is Fatima bint Hussein. All of these people are from the Ahl Bayt who give shahadat that it was the people of Kufa who attacked the caravan. And then in a kitab which is written by the Shia scholars, Nasikh al-Tawarikh, volume 1, page 301. Now this is a Shia kitab, Nasikh al-Tawarikh, volume 1, 301. Umm Kulthum bint Ali, when she looked at the people of Kufa, she said to them that all of you are traitors. All of you are traitors. And then the sixth point is Khulasatul Masail, a name of a book which is written by the Shia scholars. Shia Musannif has written a book called Khulasatul Masail, and he says in Arabic, Laysa fihim shamiyun, that the people who attacked Hazrat Hussein, none of them were from Syria. None of them were from any other place. Bal jami'uhum min ahli Kufa. In fact, all of them who attacked Hazrat Hussein were the people of Kufa. Now, the question is, my respected brothers, that alhamdulillah, we unanimously agree that the people who attacked Hazrat Hussein were who? The people of Kufa. Remember? I'll do it at the end. Is that okay? The people of Kufa. And now the question is, who were the people of Kufa? Yeah? Who were the people of Kufa? Obviously you see that the Shias are very fast to blast everything towards Yazid ibn Muawiyah and towards the Sunni Muslims, hiding the fact that everything was actually done by the people of Kufa. And all of the people of Kufa were actually who? Shia. And that is a fact. In fact, Maulana Haqnawaz Jhangvi of Pakistan put this into the High Court of Pakistan, saying to the Shia community that were there, who would always cry and make a fantastic drama in the months of Muharram, and they should be crying because of what their forefathers did to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, you should be crying. And Maulana Haqnawaz Jhangvi said, if I can't prove in the high courts of Pakistan that the murderers of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala were none but Shias, every single one was a Shia, then I should be shot in any part of Pakistan. In any part of Pakistan you can shoot me, if I can't prove it to you. And so these were scholars who did a lot of research. And so, just for an example, 2 points here. Why to explain that the people of Kufa were all Shia? A book that is titled as Majalisul Mu'mineen. What is it? Majalisul Mu'mineen. This book is written by a mujtahid amongst the Shia scholars. I'm saying mujtahid amongst the Shia scholars, whose name is Sheikh Nurullah. Sheikh Nurullah has written a book called Majalisul Mu'mineen. And he says that in Kufa at that time, everyone was a Shia. You will not find a single Sunni there. Everyone was a Shia. Now this comes from a Shia himself saying this to you. Majalisul Mu'mineen. And secondly, another book that is written by the Shia scholars themselves, Jala'ul Uyun. Jala'ul Uyun, it's a Shia book. And in there it says that all of the letters that Hazrat Hussein had received was written to him by the people of Kufa, and all of them were Shias. All of them were Shias. And so look at this drama that they do and this acting that they do. They were the one who invited Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and they were the same people who deceived Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and they were the same people who abandoned Muslim ibn Aqil. Do you remember that? Muslim ibn Aqil. And they were the same people, the people of Kufa, who actually attacked Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala became shaheed. And you'll see that a lot of the Sunni people don't actually have the right information, and we fall into the trap of the Shia scholars taking blame, but actually blame is only with the Shia group of people. It is your forefathers that did this treatment, aliyazu billah, with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and not the people of Sham, not the people of Sham. Yes, we say that what Yazid did, he has to be put to blame. No doubt, because he was the Khalifa. But the people who actually murdered Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an were not Sunni Muslims, but who?
Shia.
Shia Muslim. And that is very, very important. And I've taken 6 points here. The first is Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and the second is Hazrat Zainul Abidin. The third is Zainab binti Ali. The fourth, Fatima binti Hussain. The fifth is a book written by Shia, Nasikut Tawarikh. In the Umme Kulsum binti Ali blames the people of Kufa. And the sixth is Khulasatul Masail. And in there also, the Shias themselves testify that the people of Kufa, none of them were Shamiyun, as in none of them were Sunni. None of them were Shami. All of them were the local people of Kufa. And in the other books, like Majalisul Mu'min and Jala'ul Uyun, it is clear that they say that everyone there in Kufa at that time was who? The Shia people. Who invited Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And so this is what they do. They cry in the month of Muharram. And this is nothing but a way to deceive people. A way to deceive people. They deceived Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan, and now Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we have covered the events of Karbala. Inshallah ta'ala, this is our last session of Dars-e Hadith. Rather, just to continue on a new topic, a new chapter, we can do that, inshallah, after the month of Ramadan. We have covered the events of Karbala, so this will be the last session, inshallah. We will continue after the month of Ramadan, inshallah, in Shawwal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين